Well, Merry Christmas Eve, everyone. It's so good to see all of you tonight. For those of you that are new, my name is Pastor Tim. I'm the youth pastor here at the church. And from all of us here at Only Believe, I just want to say welcome. We know that there are a lot of places you could be tonight, but you chose to be here for our Christmas Eve service. And so I just want to say thank you so much for choosing to be here with us tonight. I know that we have a wonderful service planned for you. It's going to be good. If you are a first-time guest with us, we would love to know who you are and to just have the chance to reach out to you at some point. So if you are a first-time guest, if you could just scan the QR code, there'll be one right behind me on the screen, or they're on the pew. If you just look down a little bit right in front of you, they're on the back of the pews there. You can scan those QR codes. That'll come directly to us. We promise not to harass you. We just want to be able to reach out to you and just say thank you again for being a part of what we have going on here at Only Believe. The second thing I'd like to let you know is that we would love to be praying for you. And we have some wonderful people that are going to be walking around holding up these prayer cards. Every year in January, we do 21 days of prayer. We're going to be here every single day for 21 straight days praying. And we would love to pray for you. So if you have a need going on in your family right now that you would love to just have a church family standing in faith, believing with you for a miracle or for a touch from God, we'd love to do that for you. And so all you got to do is take one of those cards, fill it out, put your name on it, put your prayer request, or you can just leave it blank. You don't even have to put your name on it if you don't want to. Just put what your need is, and then you can drop those off after the service at our welcome center in the lobby, and we would love to pray for you and with you about that need. At this time, we're going to just start worshiping the Lord, the Savior that we're here to celebrate tonight. So if you would stand up with us as we worship the good news that brings great joy.
Faithful to your promise, you are strong when I am weak. When I'm standing in your presence, I have everything I need. The joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
It's more than a feeling.
The joy of the Lord. Oh!
The joy of the Lord. fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
Don't Son to this earth. We thank you, and tonight we adore King Jesus. We adore the name above every other name, King Jesus. We worship you tonight, Lord, for you're holy in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would take your seats tonight, we have a video that's going to play to get tonight started.
What name could contain such a glory? In the cool breezes of Eden, wrought from the infant earth, one arose, the voice of his creator speaking his identity to life. Adam, man. And as heaven waited short with breath, the creator spoke yet another, Eve. Mother of all the living. So it was with Abraham, named in the promise as the father of nations. Peter, the rock upon which the church would stand. The name called to life the destiny within. The name set the stage for all that was to come. And unto us a child was born. And what name could contain his glory? For he was mighty God, as the universe gasped into being, flinging rays of light from his presence to pierce the void, to shatter the shadows to a tapestry of color. And he is mighty God, shattering our darkness, revealing our light, our truth in him. He was everlasting Father when orphaned Israel needed a father's touch. When we, with grief-stricken cheeks, need the embrace of one who never leaves. When we have lost our way to dark horizons, it is our everlasting Father who lights the way home. He is Prince of Peace. When, like Elijah, we need the still small voice in the turmoil's midst. When, like David, we need the melodies of his presence to soothe our troubled minds. He is sanctuary within our trials, shepherd guiding us to still waters. And yes, he is wonderful counselor, God who gives counsel in the chaos, crafting disorder into calm and failure into beauty. He is a voice for the voiceless. He is dignity for the stateless soul. It is he who raised up a lowly shepherd to become a king. He who took the fishermen of Galilee and made them leaders of history. It is the counselor who redeems our lost years, breaking chains that have kept dreams imprisoned and joy confined. The name reaches across eternity, exclaimed by the splendors of galaxies, sung by the passions of angels, roared in heaven's fervor, exalted in creation's unfettered rejoicing. What name could contain him? What title? What soul renowned? For this is our wonderful Counselor. This is our mighty God. This is our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace. What name could contain Emmanuel, God with us, Yahweh, the great I am? What name could contain the Word of Life, the Light of the World, the King of Kings, the Lord of all? We bow to the name that holds every other in its matchless worth. What name could contain such a glory? What name but Jesus? We cry, Jesus. We cry, holy is the name.
Hallelujah. Wow. Christmas is a big deal. Amen. It's a big deal. Merry Christmas Eve, everybody. Are we doing well? If I could see you, I'd say you're probably good looking out there. But these lights are blinding me. Oh, welcome if you're here for the very first time. I'm Pastor Randy Waters. It's good to be here tonight for this Christmas Eve service. Now, I wish there was a little snow on the ground, but that's okay. We got some rain. That's close enough. Amen. Are you okay? All right, well, let me start out with this tonight. There were three brothers, okay, and they had gotten their mom something for Christmas, and they were all in a room together, and they were just kind of, I don't know, a little haughty at each other. And the first brother says, well, you know what? I got my mom a brand new house, big old house. She's going to love it. And the second brother said to the first brother, well, I'll tell you what, that might be nice, but I got her a Ferrari, really fast car, red, her favorite color. She's just going to love that car. And the third brother says, okay, guys, well, you know how mom's eyes aren't like they used to, and she really loves reading the Bible. So I got a super expensive parrot, and that parrot can read every scripture of every verse of the Bible just for her. And they were like, ooh, wow. Well, about that time, mom FaceTimes them and said, boys, I just want to thank you so much for the wonderful Christmas gifts that you gave me. And then she turned to the first brother and said, but what were you thinking? I am too old to clean that big monster house. I'm never going to live in that thing. I'll get lost in it. And then she turns to the second brother and said, honey, I thought you knew me better than that. I couldn't even fit in that Ferrari. I can't even see to go that fast. And she looks at the third brother and said, honey, I love you so much. You knew exactly what I wanted. Thank you for the chicken. It was delicious. So, yeah, be careful what you get your mom for Christmas, amen? You might want to explain it first before you hand it over to her. All right, praise the Lord. Okay, all right, now that was better. All right, now we can start the service tonight. Because this is a glorious occasion, Christmas is. And I have, of course, a simple question for you this Christmas Eve service. And although it might be very simple to most of you, to some of you, it might be a very difficult question. It might even be maybe a perplexing question. And that question is, especially after you've seen that video and seen just how amazing Jesus is and what God did for you and me, the question is this: who is Jesus to you? And I just want to let that just ramble across this congregation. Who is Jesus to you? Think about that. Because it's not who he is to you and your friends, you and your parents, you and your grandparents. It says, who is he to you all by yourself in your little box far away in a desert somewhere where nobody's around? Who is he to you? That's the question that I have for you tonight. And I want to obviously have you ponder on that as I'm talking for a few minutes about this. Now, people portray him in so many ways. I found a couple pictures of that we have of him. We have the portrait of Jesus up here. And you know, I don't know about you, but that picture was in my grandmother's house on the wall in their living room for over 25 years. It never got dusted or anything. You know, but that picture is what I seen every time I went over to my grandmother's house. She had it on the wall. We also have a picture of a headshot, of course, of Jesus, you know. I mean, people see him as this, which is amazing. My favorite is we have the superhero Jesus, of course, you know. In kids' church, we portray him as this all the time, you know. And then, of course, we have the very famous touchdown Jesus that you might see here. And if you went down I-75, you'd see that portrayed down there as well. So there's lots of different things and lots of different ways we see Jesus. So is he boring to you when we talk about him, or you read about him, or you see a photo of him? Is he irrelevant to your lifestyle or the way you live or what you do? Is he a fictional character to you? Maybe he don't even exist in your world. And is Christianity just a system of moral values, or just a bunch of tradition or feel-good thoughts? I mean, what is all this to you in this Christmas season? Well, I'm going to tell you my opinion, which doesn't really matter, because you got to figure this out on your own. But it's none of those things. Christianity and Christmas, it's really not about the presents or the Christmas tree or the shopping or the snow. It's definitely not about Santa. It's about a name, and that name, of course, is Jesus. That's what it's all about. Now, I would think that anyone could get to know a person. We can all get to know people. And, of course, we're with people. We're with friends and our relatives and neighbors and things of that nature. So we can get along with people. But why can't we become friends with a person like Jesus? A savior, someone like him. Some of us maybe don't even think about that. Well, I never even thought about him being a friend or being a friend of Jesus. Well, you can be. Anybody can be a friend of Jesus. And yet, he confounds so many people. It seems like he's simple. I mean, we see a baby in a manger. We're celebrating that today. It seems simple, but yet he confounds a lot of people. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 22, verse 42, Jesus himself is pretty slick. He says, "What do you think about the Christ?" And he's asking the question about himself to all the other people around him. "And whose son is he?" And they said to him, "The son of David." And he said to them, "Well, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son?" And no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare question him any more. See, Jesus messes everything up. You think you got him figured out, and he'll mess with you. That's what he does. Yeah. You think you know chemistry, and the next thing you know, Jesus turns water into wine. Like, oh, wow. You got biology all figured out. Explain the virgin birth of Jesus, please. Very difficult. So you're a master at physics, huh? Until you see Jesus walk through walls, walk on the water, and then right before your eyes ascend into heaven with hundreds of people watching him, saying, "I'll be back." It's crazy. Economics isn't even safe around Jesus when he just turns 5 loaves of fish and some bread into thousands and thousands of loaves of fishes and bread. Medicine had no chance either. Jesus healed all kinds of sick people and all kinds of diseases in his 3.5 years on this earth. Death had no hold on people when he was around. Hello, we read that kids were healed, brought back to life from death. He raised a dead man that was dead for 4 days who stunk really bad, brought him back to life. And then God himself raises Jesus back up after 3 days. Yeah, so death had no hold on him. Anytime devils ran into Jesus, they shivered and shook as Jesus cast them out. In the name of Jesus, oppressed people were not oppressed anymore and left. Oppression was gone. Depression gone at his name. Wow, such power. People called him master, but yet he had no servants. They called him a teacher, yet he never went to college or had any type of degree. He wasn't a doctor, but yet he was a healer. He was born a king, but he had no army. He had no weapons, yet he conquered death, hell, and the grave. Wow, that's Jesus. Jesus is a person who is rooted in real history. He isn't a legend. He's not an imaginary figure. He can be fact-checked. Archaeology backs him up, and even extra-biblical sources back him up. So how did he have such an impact on history? There's a lot of people who's had an amazing impact on history. Thomas Edison, thank God for these lights, right? He had an impact on history. We can name hundreds of people who's had an impact around the world. But what makes Jesus so different and separate from anybody who has had an impact on history and the world? The difference is because of what he said and what he claimed. He claimed to be God. Claimed to be God. In John 14:9, he says, "Who has seen me has seen the Father." In John 14:6, he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one will come to the Father except through me." In Matthew 12:8, he says, "For the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Dude, this guy was telling people that he was God. Luke 5:22, men had lowered a paralyzed man down through a roof because the crowds were just going crazy and they couldn't get in. And when he saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven." Why didn't he say, "Man, you're healed. Get up and take your bed and walk," which he did a little bit later. Jesus was trying to let people know, you know, healing's fantastic. Healing is great. We all want to be healed. We all want health in our lives. But sins forgiven, that's a whole nother level. A whole nother level. And he told people that I can forgive man's sins while I'm on this earth. Dude, that was blasphemy. Blasphemy to all the other religious leaders, Sadducees, Pharisees, because they believed that only God himself could forgive man of sin. And Jesus claimed to be God. Wow. He said in John 8:58, that before Abraham was, I am. And then God said to Moses in Exodus 3:14, I am who I am. And then in John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Now, if you're writing something down, I want you to write this down. And if you're not writing anything down, I want you to write this down anyway. Because this is the statement of the night. And I want you to think about this. Jesus was the only person that was alive before he was ever born. Let that sink in. He was the only person who was alive, who was there in the beginning, before he ever came to earth as a baby, as a human, for you and me. Wow, that's amazing. And then we read that in John 1:14. It says, then, and the Word then became flesh and dwelt among us. Well, who was the Word? Jesus was the Word. And he came to the earth and he dwelt among humans for 3.5 years. Cried, wept, was hungry. Everything that we went through, he went through. Like you and me. History is also clear concerning his resurrection. He showed himself to hundreds and hundreds of people, including his disciples, on several occasions. Skeptics could say, and of course they have said, well, you know what, they can say what they want to because they wanted people to believe everything that they said about Jesus. But you know what, here's the thing. They had nothing to gain by saying this. They had everything to lose by saying this to people. 11 of the 12 disciples died horrible deaths, martyred because of they refused to deny Jesus, and they refused everything because they saw what he did and what he had done. They weren't going to lie. Now, you know, every now and then, if we want to make something up, we'll make it up. We can lie for a little while. We can fake it for a little while. But when your life is on the line, whether it's life or death, and if it isn't true, let me tell you something, you're going to cave in. You're going to give in. You're not going to believe it. Or, I'm sorry, I lied. When life is on the line, you'll cave every single time. Listen, James was beheaded because he refused to say that Jesus wasn't real and seen what he didn't see. Peter was crucified upside down. I don't know if you guys have ever hung upside down for about a minute or two, but man, all that blood rushing to your head, it's like, turn me over quick. Deny him. Deny what he did and who he was, and it will turn you back upside. Nope, he died, martyred that way. Thomas was pierced through with swords. 11 of the 12 martyred, killed brutally because they would not deny him. Because they knew what they saw. They knew what he did. Almost every expert on the planet says Jesus did exist. There is as much documented existence of Jesus as there is Julius Caesar. You look it up. We hear about Jesus' accounts through, of course, the four Gospels. But there are accounts recorded from outsiders as well. Such as the Roman Tacitus. And you can look all these up. Josephus. The Talmud, Lucian, Pliny the Younger, and so many others talk about the disciples, talk about Jesus, talk about Christianity. What was happening? They were arresting them. They refused everything. He existed. He was real. Jesus and his message turned the world upside down. And today, over 30% of the world claim to be Christians and Jesus followers. That's almost 2.5 billion people today in the world believe in Jesus, believe what he said, believe what he did, and call themselves Jesus followers. It's not too bad. There's 8 billion people in the world. 30%'s okay. I'd like to be more, but that's pretty good. From the greatest minds to the simplest hearts of a child, his name is in every culture, and he has inspired masterpieces in every field of art. Of course, like some that we just showed you a few minutes ago. His name and fame continues to spread across the globe and into places where the name of Jesus has never been heard. And when his name shows up, things happen. People's lives are changed. People are healed, set free, and delivered. That's not happening in any other name but the name of Jesus. We was in Africa, and the Muslims were down the street, and they were talking bad about the Bible. They had their own crusade right down the street because we had one up the street. And they were shaming Jesus, shaming the Bible, saying he was just an ordinary prophet. We had our first crusade night, and there were hundreds of people that were saved and hundreds of people that were healed. Well, they decided to come on our land that we had rented during the day, the next day, and was praying to Muhammad, cursing our crusade. Ah, we let them do it. What are they? Ain't nobody hearing them. That night, the crowd doubled. More people were healed, set free, and delivered. So what did they do? They came back the next night, and was doing it again. They had more of them. More of just cursing Jesus. Just praying to Muhammad and Allah. And the next night, it tripled again. Crowds tripled. More healings. I went up to a guy, and And he was in a motorcycle accident. I laid hands on him and I said, in the name of Jesus. And his back popped instantly. And I said, did you feel that? And I was excited as him. And he said, yes, I did. I said, then get up on that stage and give a testimony. Build somebody else's faith. And he ran up there and did that. It was beautiful. So the final day that we were there, the Muslims apparently were desperate. And they came and they started licking the dirt on our crusade grounds. All hands and feet licking their dirt. I don't know what that meant. I have no clue. I don't know. But it didn't work. Because then that night, 70, 80, 90,000 people showed up. And it was the biggest crowd. More people saved. More people healed and delivered because of the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Not the name of Muhammad, Hare Krishna, Buddha, but the name of Jesus. And that's what happens all around the world because of the name, because he's alive, because he's real. He exists and he's here with you and me if you want him to be. Hallelujah. So can you have a personal relationship with someone who is God and who was born in a manger and became fully man over 2,000 years ago? It's for you to answer that tonight. Nobody else. He is called many things, the bread of life, the light of the world, the door, the good shepherd, the resurrection and the life, the true vine, the way, the truth, and the life. He is called wonderful counselor. I don't know about you, but in today's world, man, we need a lot of counseling. And wouldn't it be awesome to have Jesus as our counselor to help us and guide us? He's been called, or is called, the mighty God. The everlasting Father. Hallelujah. This guy won't run out on you, maybe like your dad did. He's an everlasting Father. Hallelujah. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the Lord of Lords. And he could be any of those things to you tonight if you want him to be. If you feel hopeless, listen, then Jesus can be hope and mercy to you tonight. Hallelujah. What a feeling. If you fight addictions, well, then Jesus can be your chain addiction breaker tonight. If you're sick or have a disease, he can become your healer. I don't know if Mary's out there tonight. Mary Laws, are you out here? There you are. They said she wasn't going to be alive. She was going to die in a hospital. She was in a coma, wouldn't wake up. I go up to that room and I look at the nurse and I said, how's she doing? Eh. What do you think? Eh. Okay. I was trying to wait for the nurse to leave, but she didn't. So, okay. I just reached over to Mary and grabbed her hand. And I went to her ear and I said, Mary, wake up in Jesus' name. And I stood there and I waited. I fully expected her to open her eyes and yawn. She didn't. So, grabbed her hand again. Listen, stubborn woman. No, I didn't say that. No, I said, Mary, wake up in Jesus' name. She didn't move. I didn't care. I looked up at the nurse and I said, hey, she's going to be waking up. So just be watching for that. And she turned around, looked at me, and she was just like, okay, sure. I said, she is. I said, Mary, I'll see you. And I walked out. And I get a phone call. I think it was the next day. Mary wants to see you. I said, she does? Yeah, she's awake. I said, okay, I'll be right there. And man, I did. I got right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That wasn't me. It's the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you feel lonely, then Jesus can be your best friend tonight. If you feel condemned with shame, then Jesus is the one who forgives all of your sin. And he will transform you from the inside out. Hallelujah. Listen, the name of Jesus himself means salvation. And here's the thing. If God gave us 50 ways to get to heaven, man would ask for 51. You know? If we said, God, I'll give you my life if you show me a miracle. Well, he's shown you miracles. And you want another one. That's just who we are as human beings. Listen, there isn't a church, a denomination that can get you into heaven. Your religion won't get you there. No mosque, cathedral, or synagogue can help you either. I went to one of the biggest Catholic churches in the world, in Yamoussoukro Cote d'Ivoire, and it was dead. Dead. Jesus wasn't in that place. There's only one way to God, and that is if you confess with your mouth the Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the only way. The only way. There's no greater gift than the gift of life. And as of 2 a.m. this morning, we are now grandparents for the very first time. For those of you who know us. And we got to go today to the hospital and see that little gift of life, Lacey Mae Waters. She was so sweet and so special. And as she yawned with her little arms up by her face, I thought of Jesus in that manger. I said, what a gift. What a gift God gave us. He didn't have to do what he did. He could have stayed up there and let us all go to hell. But God wanted to reunite you and him, not just for eternity, but to also have a relationship while we're on this earth right now. He wants to commune with you and me. Just like you want to commune with your boyfriend and call him all the time, with your wife, husband, with your grandparents and your grandkids. We want relationship. He wants relationship. And he says, all you have to do is do one simple thing. Just ask for forgiveness. It's that simple. If you do that, you're in like Flynn. I'll be there for you. I'll be there with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll listen to your prayers. I'll answer them for you. And when you die, when this flesh is history, you'll be with me in paradise forever. Man, that sounds pretty good to me, don't it? So I'm going to say a prayer of repentance tonight. And if you would like me to include you in that prayer, then just simply throw up your hand and I'm going to pray with you and you're going to pray that with me. Is anybody here done being sick and tired of being sick and tired? I've lived my life the way I wanted to live it. It's not got me where I wanted. I think it's time to surrender. You know you need to. You know you want to. If you would like to, just slip up your hand and I'm going to pray with you. Anybody here tonight says, I think it's time. Anybody at all? Okay, good. Amen. Thank you. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm not playing around. This isn't an emotional roller coaster. Jesus is who he says he is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Hallelujah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Your life will be changed. Problems won't go away. They'll still be there. You might even have a little bit more. Whoop, there, one hand went down. No, I'm just joking. No. It's okay. Jesus is with you. You have a family of faith that's here for you as well. You have a mighty counselor who'll help you through things. So everybody, I just want you to stand with me and we're going to pray this prayer together. And I want everybody to pray it as well. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, we come before you this Christmas Eve as a sinner, headed straight to hell. But thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth as a baby, living life as a human being, and taking my place on the cross and forgiving me of all my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me tonight and washing all my sins away and never remembering them again. Now, Jesus, as you died for me, I will now live for you. Lead me and guide me. Teach me your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. Give Jesus a hand. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you did that for the first time, or you said, man, I was really doing bad, I want you to tell your neighbor. If they don't know, tell somebody. Tell somebody. And if after tonight you go out there and you're drinking hot chocolate, please tell whoever's out there at the Welcome Center so we can get you something so you can start your relationship. That newborn baby, man, she needs to eat. And I'll tell you, she needs to be fed every half hour. So we have to give her back to mom. You need to eat. You need to be fed spiritual food because the devil wants you back bad, but he can't have you because you're covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's continue our service.
I have the honor and the privilege tonight of leading you in communion on Christmas Eve. Nothing sweeter or more special in my heart. I read to you tonight out of 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter. And it says, the 24th verse, "And when he, Jesus, had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took this cup, and when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Tonight, there's three things that was said in the scripture. One, that he gave thanks as he break it. Tonight, we too give thanks. According to the word of God, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believeth on him would have everlasting life. We say thank you for that beautiful name of Jesus, that when you and I believe on it and in it and confess it, that we have been saved. I encourage you to remember tonight Jesus, the name who came wrapped in human flesh for you and I, to show us that it can be done. Though you and I were ridden with sin, he came and wrapped himself in this flesh like you and I, but did not sin. He became that spotless sacrifice for you and I on Easter and gave his life on Calvary. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. And lastly, I bring to our attention the spirit of expectancy. It said that when we do this, we show the Lord's death till he comes. See, Jesus, the name above all other names, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. Jesus is our soon coming King. When he left, he said, "I will come back for a spotless bride, a church that is glorious, and I will be the head of her, and she shall be my body, and I'll come and get her." But until he does, church, we remember, and we say thank you, and we look forward to his return, that wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. Take your cup. We start with the bread. Father, we give thanks tonight for this bread that you've given us. Father, we thank you for the body that you came and that you wrapped yourself in this human flesh. But Father, we care that he followed his purpose and his call, and he laid down this life for us that we might have this life and have it more abundantly. God, that he took the stripes upon his back that I could live in wholeness and healing. Father, I accept all that the cross and that Christ paid for me tonight. We take this bread and we eat, and we are thankful and we remember. Let us eat. Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary for us. God, that he paid for our sin. That it didn't just cover our sin, but it washed it away. God, that he said that he throws our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. God, that he's not looking at us to shame us or to condemn us or to remember what we've done. But tonight we remind the enemy, not of what we have done, not for what we deserve, but because of what Christ has done for us. We choose this blood and we do this in remembrance and with thanks. But Father, we do this with expectancy, saying, God, we are looking for your return. And we will be that spotless bride who's holy when you return. Take this cup and drink. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your Son. Now tonight, we conclude our service tonight with our candlelight service. If you would, grab your candles. And Sister Regina is going to lead us in Silent Night.
Round yon
Merry Christmas, everyone. There are refreshments out in the lobby for you.